listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 14th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here. And I'm so glad about last week's show, and I'm really glad for tonight's topic, and it's already the middle of August.
It is. It is. And we are being very upbeat and positive about that fact, too.
We are.
Time is not going too fast. It's going the appropriate amount. So, good to keep in mind. Welcome to those joining us live, as well as those listening to us from the archives. We always appreciate your time. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, I am looking forward to our topic. It's one of my favorites. And I just want to address a controversy going on in the chat here before we get started. And some conspiracy theorists are saying that they weren't able to hear music. And I told everybody in chat that it's been playing this whole time, and they just had to refresh. And actually, no, it wasn't playing the whole time. I thought that there's 2 layers to go through to get live, and I thought I'd cleared both, and it was broadcasting. I missed one of them. So now I just like to start things out with a little silliness, which I told Dr. Vicki I could use as a segue. And it's how to keep balance in life, and you can't be serious all the time. Sometimes you got to mess around a little bit. Sometimes you got to have fun. And that's why I like this topic of balance. Balance in life, balance in nature, however you want to look at it. Balance is one of the key things to managing life. I think that it is a fundamental truth of our existence that we need balance, that it is something that brings health to our existence and to the world around us. You know, if it's in nature, you have the balance of life in the sense of our planet is where it needs to be to have the appropriate amount of heat, liquid water. All of these different things are in a very delicate yet very sustainable balance, and that creates life. Whereas in our lives, a balance between activity, between work, between play, between family life and friends gives you a well-lived life and is a healthy thing. So, this
so
is
you're
why,
not gonna you're not gonna fess up to the fact that you were kidding about gaslighting everybody
and
you
good.
Were enjoying yourself?
No, I said at the beginning.
And I said I wouldn't tell.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'll own it.
I did. So that's why at the beginning I said, and you were right, I wasn't broadcasting, but yeah. So I was messing. You got to have fun. I like to have fun.
Of course you do. And actually there was a point when Michael and I were having a conversation. He thought we were on air. And double checked all of his buttons. It was funny.
I think that time I was just messing with you. I don't think I actually was worried about it.
Oh, now you're owning up to that. Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you This is the problem when I have a very sometimes monotone voice and I come across very even-keeled when I'm speaking, because there are some times I feel like I am being obviously wrong, and it's like, why would you believe me when I said that? I wasn't saying it in a serious way, but no, I have been told by many a person.
No, you don't. It doesn't appear you would lie in any way, shape, or form. That's why.
I have everybody fooled.
You know, balance is a really important thing, and and it's a good reminder for me, and we all need that time to time. As everybody knows, I'm packing up, I'm moving, I'm downsizing, you know, and stress. And even, you know, you don't know you're stressed, but your body's telling you you're stressed. And this is a weird thing, because my feet started sweating. I have never had sweaty feet in my life. So I go online, I'm looking up, and it says stress. And I went, oh. You know, and I needed to go through my chakras, kind of balance myself out, you know, worry about the things you have to, you know, but don't worry, kind of have a list of to-dos, and everything is getting done. So it's, you know, now I'm in the home stretch of it, but it's not easy to be balanced all the time, Michael. Mm.
Very true. You know, when it comes to that concept of what do you to kind of get us really on a foundational level, what am I talking about with balance? Dr. Jerry had asked, is balance being equal, as in equal amounts of time? I would say the balance point for every individual and every life form and every situation is a little different. I think that there is a natural balance point that we find in equilibrium in our lives between, you know, family life and work. Between relationships, between me time, you know? And I think for different personalities, different mixtures, I think it's going to be a little different. I tend to be introverted, although I can be very extroverted in my moments, but I need alone time. So for me, the balance point is a little different than somebody who is always extroverted and kind of more fundamentally needs that exposure to other personalities to feel happy and content. So the balance point is just a little different.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Mike has written in the chat, it's not necessarily about equal time for each area, but rather about finding a rhythm that works for you and your well-being and helps you feel fulfilled and content. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have been very guilty for not being balanced, and only because of the nature of my life. When I was much younger, I'd get in these writing projects, and even when I am writing, I tend to be that introvert and isolated. And then I, you know, now and again poke my head up and say, oh, do I have any friends? You know? Mm-hmm. And people who are closest to me tolerate that about me, you know, and have come to understand that. But here's social media is the best thing in that way, because I can every now and again send little messages, you know, or memes or gifts and, mm-hmm. you know, things that I'm thinking of you, even though we haven't talked in a month.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, is my responsibility to know that I have to, you know, nurture relationships, even if it's in a, you know, lesser contact, mm-hmm. you know, physical contact. And a lot of my friends don't live here. So, you know, we have the long distance friendship going on, and it just works. You know, and the friends I have here, again, staying in touch no matter how down the rabbit hole I go.
Yeah.
And making sure that I allot that time. And a great thing that my oldest daughter started implementing about a year ago is Sunday brunches. Now, it can't always happen because if something comes up, but we all get together for a Sunday brunch. And it's that connectedness time. We play cards. We hang out for a couple of hours, get caught up, and it kind of strengthens that bond.
You usually do that after Sunday Mass, do you?
You're funny. Yeah, that's funny.
Actually,
every Sunday morning, I'd have to drive by the church, and man, it's packed. It's the Baptist church at the corner. I live on a street right now that there has to be a temple, Jehovah's Witness, I don't know, two or three other churches and a Baptist church. And my eldest daughter said to me one day, everywhere you go, you're a magnet for churches. I said, no, they're everywhere.
This is true. This is very true. And, you know, I'm actually surprised that there are Baptists up that way. I figured it'd be mostly Episcopalian or you know, Church of England type stuff.
Oh, there's evangelists, everything. So it's you know, and again, that it's whatever works for you.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And that's what I think with Dr. Mike is, you know, very kindly written that finding a balance where you have some joy equal to whatever, you know, other more serious things that are going on. And I know when people are raising kids, that's not always a fun job. But if you can be emotionally present and find some fun in there and have those moments that it offsets the serious times, you know, so it's a... Audra has written in the chat, whether leading a team, training new employees, or working alone on a project, I know when to have a little fun and when it's time to get serious. I believe it's important to find balance in all aspects of life and believe it's important to lead by example in everything we do. And that's
and that's actually an excerpt from her resume, too.
Yeah, there you go. And I think that that's very well said.
It's, it is.
If you're a manager at your job, it's not just in your own life, but how you lead and how you demonstrate that, you know, rather than being, you know, a very serious man. I, you know, one of the best managers I ever met, never worked directly under him, but everybody loved him, is he was willing to get down and dirty. He always complimented people. And he would always, if there was an issue, he'd take them aside and do it one-on-one, never embarrassing anyone. And no matter how hard it was, in the hardest days, they loved him because there was a huge amount of respect. And he knew how to reward them. He knew how to have some fun. Oh, you know, once a month it'd be a pizza lunch, you know, and he'd order pizza for everybody. It's on him. And that's how he would maintain that balance in all of his... you know, in his crew. And that Damien's saying that's what his employees like about him also. And that's really a key issue, you know, wherever you are, is trying to bring out different aspects of yourself to make it a pleasant place, pleasant life. You know, and it can't always happen, but, you know, it's doing your best to do that.
You know, it is, I think, critical to effective management, effective team building, to have that give and take. And I think that is a great, you know, great analogy for everything, because it's, you know, in the short term, when things are out of balance, sometimes it can be, you know, short for the short term, effective at something, or it can be fun. You know, hey, you throw health out of the balance, you eat too much, you drink too much, you do something too much at a party. You know, it's, you know, fun for the night, but do it too much and it becomes hollow, it becomes empty and it drains you. So when you think about balance in life, it is really for the ultimate long-term success. You drive your employees too hard for a short term. You know, if you have a project you're working on and, you know, you push people and you can get that done, but you can't do it too long because then people get burnt out. Same token, you don't put enough, you know, assertiveness in and nothing gets done. Yeah, so I mean, I know it's really, you know, almost seems basic and, you know, kind of just obvious, but finding that balance is an art, not a science. Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, somebody asked me, I actually pulled a shift today at the hospital, and one of the volunteer women, she's a really cool lady, she's a retired paramedic, and she said, "What do you do for fun, Vicki?" I said, "Oh, fun. I said, I do lots of things. I paint, I write, I sculpt, you know, Sunday brunches with my kids." And she said, "Oh, you have a lot of hobbies." I said, "Yeah." And I said, "You know, go walking with my friend Susan," because I'm not. One day my friend Susan said to me, "You really do have to learn to socialize, Vicki." I said, "Oh, I know how to socialize. I just don't like it."
Yeah.
You know.
How common is that, too?
I just don't like being out in, you know, vast groups of people, and it's just not comfortable to me. I'm sensitive in energy anyway. I got nothing to talk to about, you know, well, with these people. They don't actually have conversations. They have, you know, chatter talk, and it's just not. I find myself wishing I was home painting a picture.
Yeah.
So it, that's when I think you're out of balance. If you think, oh man, I'd rather be home, you ought not to be there. So I just learned that it's not my thing.
And I think life stage comes into play in a big way in that. And of course, there's nothing right for everybody, but I will tell you, as somebody who, as especially when I was younger, very socially anxious, very much introverted, did not want to come out of my shell. Any occasion, I would rather be home, you know, typically by myself, doing something, reading, watching a movie, playing a game, whatever.
Yeah.
I had to force myself to do something I didn't like to do at the time because I was too much in a rut. And I needed to get exposure. I needed to be around people. I needed to socialize, get those skills. And you know, I really changed as a person because of it. You know,
and
so
you're young. See, Michael, that, I've been there, done that too.
And that's the key thing. That's why I said life stage is, you know, a big part of it, because that is the absolute truth. You know, when you've already done that in your life, you've written that chapter, or you've learned those skills. I think that's probably one of the biggest things about it. You have that skill set to employ when you need to.
I can be very social when I need to.
Exactly.
And, I can have conversations and I know how to do it. It's just a lot of work for me if it's in a social thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm much better in a controlled environment where I can direct it.
Yeah.
And like at work, I can be very social at work. And it's interesting because I can apply different parts of myself to this job that I've been doing. And as a patient ambassador, and for instance, today, a woman came in and she said, my doctor said to come to the lab, and I can see she has hives. And I said, okay. But I had a sense something was off. Got her a number for, you know, the walk-ins. And I went back to my desk, and something bugged me about this, and I walked over to her. Nancy, who runs the lab, happened to be there. And I'm asking this lady, do you have a requisition here? Well, I don't know. I said, did your doctor want you to go to the emergency? He said, go to the lab. So right away, Nancy clued in, said, give me your card. She went to run it. No, there's no requisition. Well, I left them to it because that's their department. I went back to my desk. Well, Nancy brought her over to the desk and said, we don't have a requisition. No problem. One of the other women who works in the ED, emergency department, was walking by, and I said, oh, Jean, can you take this lady down to emergency and take care of her? And you could tell the woman's disoriented. She's scared. She's not understanding. So off they went. Nancy looked at me and she goes, good call. That woman would have been sitting there a long time before we could get to her.
Mm-hmm.
and it's just so that balance within your own nature, not to take on too much of the hard notes, you know, of the rules, the regulations, and you're not supposed to leave my desk. Well, at that moment, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so applying those all aspects of self in a situation where you can be who you are, and you know, in that case, is to help somebody out. Something's not right here, you know. And then it was great for Nancy to acknowledge that, but I knew if that woman was sitting there a long time, she's going to be in trouble. So I mean, it's just a story that where again that. My spidey sense, because when I go to the hospital, I try not to tune in. It's just, you know, helping folks out, going through it. But every now and again, that little voice in my head goes off, and Wendy's saying, she agrees, don't be a robot.
Yeah.
So that's where, again, that's, you know, yeah, it's that balance in self. Damien is talking in the chat saying, people who talk incessantly about subjects that don't interest me is very challenging. I had a guy come in today. I looked at my watch and allocated him 4 minutes of my attention. He said, 4 minutes I'll never get back. And yes, but it's good that you have that understanding, Damien, to give him 4 minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's because this is how we still interact, and we still have to be with people.
Yeah.
You know. So it's.
It seems like a big part of growing as a person is kind of finding the, you know, if you're a natural extrovert and need to be around people, being able to be alone and with your thoughts is the other side of that. And Audra, thank you for sharing, because you had said that you thrive in large groups and parties at a club, but it was hard to be alone when you were younger, and you had to learn how, mm-hmm. you know, you're good to be alone or in groups now, and, you know, it's something that you learn as a skill. You know, I've always found myself when I'm in a crowd, when I'm in, you know, at a concert, at a movie, at anything, I've always been very empathetic. So I almost feel like I can feel, and there is that thing, you know, that whole crowd energy. You feel the energy of the crowd. You feel the energy of the theater. When you're watching a movie, yeah. you have that huge event happening and the theater goes wild and you feed off that wonderful energy and you join in it. And so I kind of get that. I feed off that energy too. But at the same time, I still have a social battery. And after that thing is, you know, depleted and starts flashing red, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. So it is definitely just a matter of finding that balance between those two extremes.
Yeah. And it's tough. People who are real extroverts, and especially when you're young and wanting that thrive, it's stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that stimulation, and it's almost painful to be at peace. And that's where and I call that kind of the adrenaline addiction, where you have to wean yourself off. And people who've lived in crisis or violent situations or, you know, domestic violence or that cycle of abuse, and over time, getting out of that, changing yourself, there's cellular memory, emotional memory, you know, where you want kind of a rush.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you want a fix. And you got to find other ways to give yourself the fix and learn to be at peace. Because honestly, peace is very painful to a lot of people.
It can be. Yeah. It can be, you know. And, you know, for me, again, I need to be alone. I need to have my alone time. But mm-hmm. If I go a few days and I'm not around somebody or go out and do something, you know, you can get that cabin fever that builds up too.
Yeah.
But Dr. Mike had also been joining in the chat about the whole 4-minute idea, which I think is, you know, you want to give somebody a little attention, but he said 3.5 minutes too long. You know, sometimes I worry about that because I can drone on. I will tell you, if I can get somebody and we're talking and I start in about some, you know, niche idea about history and it's
uh-oh.
Just, I will go.
Yeah, history. Don't go down the rabbit hole of history with Michael.
So, my girlfriend, Katie, you know, sometimes I'll be going on for a minute about something that I had read or listened to and I have to stop and I say, this is something that you're really interested in. She's like, no, but I like listening to you. And it's, you know, I find it interesting that way. It's, you know, she's not really into history, but I love that. So it works out. But yeah. I do try to be mindful of that. And I do try not to, you know, that's that kind of social skill, right? You kind of try to pick up on cues. Are they just being polite? Then you kind of like, oh, I'm going to excuse myself and let you get back to the whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
it's just, I guess the point about this conversation today is, you know, we've covered a lot of other ground in the last, you know, few weeks, and it's just important, I think, to check in with yourself. Like, what kind of balance do you have in your life? Are you feeling out of balance? Like, certainly mm-hmm. I have. I totally own that. And even as old as I am, it can happen to anybody at any time for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you got to check in with yourself to say, I need to make some changes, you know,
mm-hmm.
and okay, I need to take a breath. I need to take a time out, get my head right, you know, just kind of working for 3 days has been a good, you know, diversion for me because now I'll go back into the packing, which I'm nearly there. I mean, it's not going to take much now. But it's that anticipation that kind of is haunting, you know, all the things to do. And, you know, it's like it can really play on your mind when you're working through changes. And even if you're not working through changes, we can tend to worry about nothingness. And Michael, you mentioned it before the program. With the world in the state that it's in, we also have to ground ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And have everything kind of in perspective.
Yeah. You know, it's important to, you know, be aware of what's going on, stay informed as much as is wise and needed, which is, again, tough to call. But go outside. Look at your town. Look at your neighbors. Realize that, you know, when you are on social media or, you know, news media, whatever that is, it's always going to be a snippet. It's going to be a sliver of reality, a sliver of possible perception.
Yeah.
There's good things happening all the time. There's still a lot of a lot of reasons to be hopeful, a lot of things that have promise. So, yeah, if you are watching the news too much, if you're online too much into social media, then, yeah, step outside, take a walk, look around, you know, look at the people around you. You know, things in many parts of the world, not everywhere, but things aren't too bad. So,
you know, I think I said this not too long ago in the program, but it was some time ago that I made a conscious decision in the morning to have my coffee and no technology. My cat gets on my lap. We look out the window, you know, and kind of emerge from the dream world and just be in that place. And it might be for 10 minutes. It might be half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, depending if I have to go somewhere, but it's that I'm not going to dive into that. And that's one of the first things I was doing for a long time is you get up, turn on your computer, get your coffee, you know, what's going on? I said, oh, this has got to stop. This is nonsense. There's lots of time to find that out. You know, go check out the weather, look out the window.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of dumb. Give that... giving yourself some space away from all that other stimuli so that you can just be present. So I've kind of turned it into my meditation time in the morning, just that emerging out of the dream world, you know, kind of grounding with my cat. and she appreciates that too. And she is so upset. She does think she's a dog, by the way, guys. this packing stuff is not going over well.
Oh, I can't imagine it would.
Oh, no. If I bring out a suitcase, she is on that suitcase and won't leave it. No, I'm not kidding. So I have to leave the suitcase till the last minute. But all these boxes, all this stuff disappearing, she's what is going on? Well, you can't explain it to her. You know, just go with the flow. So what she needs is that reassurance from me. So I'm just saying this for another reason, that even animals, if you live with animals, they're going to pick up on all your vibes.
That's very true. Yeah.
And so being considerate of other people, other, you know, your critters, when you're going through your own stuff, that's another important balance that you have to be aware of. No, you're not getting me a dog, Wendy. I'm allergic to dogs. You know, I think
there are hypoallergenic breeds.
I've had dogs my entire life, and 10 years ago I got mold poisoning, and it messed up my immune system. I'm actually allergic to dogs and cats. I refuse to get rid of my cat, so I suffer along with that. I have to take antihistamines like crazy when I go to my kids. I love their dog. That dog is a reincarnation of a dog I had. Know it. She loses her mind when I come to the house. So before anybody else, it's me and Molly have to do our thing. And then I have to wash my hands or I'm going to break out in hives.
You know,
yeah.
It's funny. I'm actually I'm probably a lower level than you, no doubt. I think it's a 1 out of 4 level of severity. I'm allergic to both cats and dogs. Jerry had asked, Dr. Jerry in the chat had asked if I have a balance between animals, and I actually do. I have an equal amount of dogs, an equal amount of cats, and an equal amount of fish. So they all balance each other out. Of course, the fish are more decorative. They don't really count. They're just there.
Why did I miss out on the fish part, Michael?
What do you mean? I just never
talked. Something you just, you kept to yourself.
I don't know. I mean, they're in a square box that sits on a counter or on a table in my dining room area, and they exist. They float around. They swim. I feed them, and that's kind of all they do. So there's not much to talk about.
No.
Although I will say the dogs and the cats both love to watch them like TV or something. But it's a. It's a good thing to balance. In my case, in my life, I have found the importance of balancing out human interaction with dog and cat interaction. It is good for the soul.
Well, that's the point of tonight's conversation. It's whatever brings you peace, contentment, and, you know, that you have something to anchor yourself with when things go kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's... Balance is that, you know, fundamental rule in life. It is something that you can use to address to any subject. And, you know, if things are out of whack, you can put them back into order. There's plenty of things within the...
Yeah.
The cat's out of balance right now. But,
you know, I do want to say Dr. Kelly sent out, you know, the newsletter this week. And I, you know, of course, the focus was, you know, you're struggling to finish your degree. And, you know, number one, getting distracted, disparaging comments, job loss, lack of finances and illness. And he was very compassionate about, you know, things that come to job losses or lack of finance or illness, because those are all really stressful things that, you know, we all have those moments in life, that, you know, that there's no not necessarily an answer to. But I want to bring that up. And by the way, if you can, you know, read the weekly things, because they're really very informative and good. And Dr. Kelly puts in, you know, a lot of effort in these. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, we have to understand that everybody's got stuff going on in their life for whatever reason. And it's still, if you can have something that puts your mind in a good frame, you know, that, you know, sets you in a good space. And Dr. Mike has said the average teen on social media has the attention span of a goldfish. Yeah, I got two grandkids right now that I actually yelled at my granddaughter for the first time yesterday. And it kind of shook her up.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She'll be 17.
Oh, well, okay. And, what was she doing?
Well, without going into all of it, she's just not paying attention to, and she's being defiant. How's that in a word?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And she thinks she's 35.
It sounds like me when I was a kid.
You know, and so I told her in a very loud voice that she's starting to pee me off. I said, you want to build trust? This is how you build trust. You are not building trust here. We love you, but this is not working for us. You know, and I don't like to be that way, but yeah. I mean, she does. I think she has the attention span of an amoeba, is what I think. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like that.
Oh, I know. I think it's very common for young people, especially, and always has been, but social media has just exacerbated an existing tendency that was naturally, you know, when I was a kid, in the infancy of social media, or a teenager, when it was still MySpace and Facebook was the hot new thing, you know, on the horizon in a couple of years, it was, you know, it was still a time where everybody had ADD.
Then.
What's that?
It was a novelty.
Well, it was, but the point being is that there was still, you know, an ADD or ADHD epidemic. Everybody was being prescribed Ritalin and this and that and the other, which, of course, I think is just people that would be more sedentary than we used to be, you know, like going out and being active. But I digress. And I remember that age. I remember when my dad would, we'd have discussions, and he would always say that you'd have to go out and happen to the world now while you still know everything until you grow up and realize you don't. That's why I've always had the idea that every single, you know, group of 40 to 60 always, you know, just complain about the newest generation coming up. And I understand why. It's because young people can be very annoying. But, that's the thing.
Every generation has its own thing going on, and I've kind of let go of that. It's whatever, if there is karma in that way. Mm-hmm. They've got their own life to lead and their own karma to work through. And at the same time, don't be disrespectful. I just have a few things on my list. Don't go there.
Yeah. And it's good to set those boundaries, but
yeah, I know. And, so again, that balance, and I don't think they have really good balance, because they're like super hyper focused on what they want today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
and
immediate.
Yeah, and Saturday is so far off, right?
Yeah.
And it's, Yeah, and I get it. We all remember what that was like, but don't be disrespectful. Don't be deceptive. And remember, your family comes first. So, and if you don't remember that, life is going to throw you a curveball or two.
This is very, very true. And thank you so much for sharing, because that is, I think, something that a lot of different families, a lot of different people have to deal with.
It is so. So I've asked in the chat if anybody'd like, we're going to draw cards tonight, the inner oracle self-discovery card, followed up by a tarot card on my end.
It's going to be exciting. And we already have some names filtering in.
Haven't done it for a couple of weeks, so we can see what we can pull up in here.
Absolutely.
And I do see that Dr. Edward's name is in there.
He is. And Dr. Edward, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the names are coming up, so
they are.
Maybe we should get started tonight, Michael.
We should.
For a balance in the program.
I'm glad we finally got here. So for you, Dr. Edward, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, this is not a bad thing, the death card, because that's rebirth. It's just indicated as, you know, death. It's kind of maybe changing your mind about a few things. So insights, wisdom, and I know I've done that a few times in my life, saying, oh, I think I was just wrong. and that's okay. It's just got to be okay. So there might be, it could be about people. It could be about life. It could be about yourself. And, you know, just how insights affect how we change our minds. So I think that there might be some of that going on. You know, Wendy said you haven't had that card. So that's a good one. You know, sometimes it's even a reflective moment and, oh, maybe you don't like that anymore. That's a change, you see? And then, you know, I'm kind of done with Brussels sprouts. It could be that simple. But it's gaining a wisdom of yourself in life.
Very good.
Yeah.
I love that message.
Okay, we've got Dr. Jerry in there.
Dr. Jerry, for you, I have number one, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing, always growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or non-perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
You know, the Seven of Diamonds is awesome. That Seven of Pentacles for perfection. And it's kind of a learning as you go. It's that creativity, that apprenticeship, and there's some changes, but it's really enjoyable. So you're in a shift of some kind, Jerry, and your focus might be a little bit different, and you're learning, but you're also applying yourself. So I think it's a really good, positive kind of affirmation to you. And it's perfect, you know, everything is perfectly going.
It's a perfect message.
Yeah, I have to say that, because this is really important, Dr. Mike mentioned when he was a kid, his concern was how to survive Vietnam. And talk about perspective. You know, again, every generation, you know, back then there, you know, there was the draft. And a lot of young men were sent into really horrendous, difficult situations. And, of course, there is no draft anymore. That's not to say it couldn't come back in the U.S. or even Canada, for that matter.
We'll drag you along, don't worry.
But it's every generation has its own thing to work through. And compared to back in the day of Vietnam, these young people are living in gravy.
Yeah, absolutely. Not all. I mean, there are still some that do join the military. Both of my brothers served, and my younger brother in combat, which was very difficult, which is always a good reminder to both keep in mind the context of the situation.
That was a voluntary thing.
It was.
Something that they pursued. And I'm just saying, no, there's this, there's a privilege now of this young, very young generation. And that's not to say the young people don't have big concerns and worries, and the world's overwhelming, and, you know, a lot of mental health things, which sometimes I think is blown out of proportion. They have a temper tantrum, and suddenly they're in the hands of a social worker, and I never parented that way. So it's just, again, it's just a thing. But thanks for that, you know, kind of sombering moment of reality check, everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right, because it's an important thing to keep in mind. And, you know, one thing I was going to finish off on the, you know, the people that have served is it's such a very small, very, very small fraction of a percent that see those kind of difficult situations, that most of us exist in a blissful kind of ignorance. So that's why I wanted to cap that idea. But
Well, Damien said he had volunteered, but he thinks the draft might be coming back since military recruitment numbers are low. And that's what I say. It's quite possible.
It's,
And so that would certainly wake up a young population. but again, the world is changing. We don't know.
Yeah. And so, fingers crossed that it will not come to that. But.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Oh, Dr. Jerry, she volunteered also. Well, back in the day. Interesting. See all these things we don't know?
Absolutely.
And we learn about each other.
And, you know, an honorable thing to do. So.
Yeah. Okay, but we have Audra next, I think.
For Audra, we're going to get back onto some card energy here. And Audra, for you, I know you have a lot going on. So this is going to be wild card number 9, blank.
Ooh.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be. And it's what you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, but in the loudest of ways. Often overlooked, the universe is on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. So hope that connects.
Ooh, well, in support of blank, it's the strength card. That's the will of spirit. I think you've got a mystery going on, Audra. That's kind of, you know, where I'm going with this. What are you focusing on? What is it that you want? And maybe you're in a moment of uncertainty, or things are... and I'm not saying it's bad. That's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that whatever kind of picture you want to paint, you have the will of spirit to do that. And but you might be in a moment, and this is my feeling, you might be in a moment of saying, well, what picture do I want to paint here? You know, and what is it I want to create, and where do I want to go with this energy? So I think... anything is possible. That's huge. I think it's a big one.
Cool. All right, I love it.
So we have Dr. Zoran next.
I think we got Dr. Kevin, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So
Kevin,
I'm going to play ahead with Dr. Kevin. For you, I got number 39. It is education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, in situations and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, I'm going to go in a direction that I don't find myself often going in, Kevin, but I see the Queen of Spades here. Education, and this has to do with female energy. So insight into women, insight into assertive female energy. It doesn't necessarily have to be aggressive, but it's kind of a learning curve in relating, not necessarily an intimate relationship either, but relating to female energy. I hope I'm not trespassing when I say that, but is an education happening. So, and applying a different side of yourself. So insights in that regard. So, gee, I hope that makes sense.
I love it.
Clear as day to me, but okay. Now you always have a knack of
coming at that. All right, and you know, I get excited about the smallest things because we have a sequential card. It went from 39 to 40. So, Dr. Zorin, for you, I have number 40: relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. And don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship, regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another. So, Dr. Zorin, I hope that connects.
Well, I got the Six of Hearts, which Six of Cups is all about family, connecting, in even if it's your small community. So it's about finding new ways to connect with people. Oh, and Wendy's saying you had relationships back in May. So that's a repeat there. But it's just a reminder and being open to a sensitivity in your inner circle, perhaps, and having to find new ways to communicate with people. Kind of like not unlike I have to find new ways with my grandkids in this reality. But and that could be as simple as your relationship, your family, or, you know, your small group of friends that you regard as family. So it's just a reminder and connection. So I think that's awesome.
And Dr. Zorin had also put in that he had obligatory military service in Yugoslavia. And if I'm not mistaken about where you're from, I think that was probably pretty serious. And I can only imagine some of the stuff that you had to see and live through. So, you know, just glad you're here with us and just happy to have you. So, thanks.
You know, I find this very interesting about a lot of people who pursue metaphysics. Very often, and I'm going to dare to say this, very often there are people who have seen a dark side of life or a restrictive side, maybe even a violent side, that you're in a place where you say there's got to be more to life than this. And what is that other mystery? What am I missing? Because in that pursuit of understanding life for its value and its meaning. And when we learn more about the people who come into the chat, and certainly, you know, more about students in the school, you know, everyone's had a plight of some kind where they're looking for something more insightful, something that gives a sense of meaning and not necessarily purpose, but a curiosity for, is there more? Because if this is it, this ain't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
and so I think I that's what I'm thinking is what we also have in common.
Absolutely.
So just an observation.
You always have an accurate in that, those kind of deep points. So thank you for sharing that.
So Dr. Jerry is moving to West Virginia and may not be with us on the program for a couple of weeks, and we will be thinking about you. She says she'll be thinking about us, but we'll be thinking about you too, Jerry, and we wish you all the best in your move. I know how daunting it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And thanks for the feedback, everybody in the chat, and yeah, Dr. Kevin agrees too. When people have had, you know, been in certain mind frames in life, you got to know that there's more to life than this.
Absolutely.
He was in Afghanistan, so the acknowledgement to everybody, you know, for We're all acknowledging where you've been and what you've been through and where you are now. And partly that's a balance within the psyche, is when you've seen the really dark side and you want to reach out to the light and still believing in life and still believing in the goodness, still believing that they're good people.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So that's a balanced psyche. That's a balanced spirit.
Absolutely. A lot of vets with us tonight, and I love to see it. I love it. And, I know that Dr. Zorian, I don't know the situation as well as I would an American military member, but I know that it is a difficult thing. And, thank you for your service to those that did serve and stuff. And Dr. Zorian, Dr. Vicky has just said that, I just like what you said, and looking for something more, that there has to be more than what he was saying. So,
yeah. But and there is more to it. I have a background also, but even as a young child, the voices in my head said, no, these people are not living life right. So there's more to life than this.
Yeah.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
But, Michael, our time goes by so fast.
Oh, it does. I mean, it goes by so quick, and it is that time of the evening. We're going to have to cut Wendy, so we can't pull a card for her. What's that?
Let's pull a card for Wendy.
Okay, we'll pull a card for Wendy. I'm just razzing. Of course we're going to pull a card for Wendy. We're not going to leave out our card keeper when she asks for a card. And she's been so good at, watching for these trends. Thank you for those call-outs. Wendy, I think that when she had that call-out that I think you touched on for Dr. Zorian, too. So for you, I think this is a repeat. You have to tell me. But number 36, gratitude. And a lot of cards in the 30s and 40s. But number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Oh, wow. I got the magician in support of that one, Wendy. Now, what this means to me is we all know you a little, and we know you live in gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. Wendy has got a very kind, loving heart and insightful and lives her truth the best that she can. And it may be that others felt at time that people weren't grateful for you. that kind of goes with life and the territory. But in this case, with the magician, there might be something that you're feeling particularly more grateful for, or things coming your way or something reflective and taking a breath. And I know I've had this experience, too, where it comes out of nowhere and you say, wow, I'm so grateful. But there is this alchemy in your life right now, things shifting, and it's, again, kind of a surprise to you in a really positive way, by the way. So Wendy said she's not had that card, but she feels like it's a repeat.
Yeah, I think we pulled it a few times for different folks. Yeah. I've seen it come up.
But the magician is awesome, paired with gratitude. So it is something, some things coming your way that you're going to go, wow. I like that.
It's a good message. I love it.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is that time of the night, though, and it has been a wonderful discussion. Oh. And thank you for all of the feedback and the back and forth in chat. A special thank you to, Dr. Mike, Dr. Jerry, Dr. Kevin, Damien, Dr. Zorian. We appreciate you. We're happy that you're here with us. Seen some dark times. We're just so happy that you made it through, that you're looking for those, that light. And thank you for sharing in the chat and letting us peek into your world and yourself a little bit more. But
yeah, it's a family here.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a community, a family. Mm-hmm. We're connected. We've been connected, a lot of us, for a very long time now. And although some people leave for a while, they come back. And it's always good to see them. And
that's right.
Being grateful for this moment and Wednesday night is a balance of my week.
It is. It is. And me as well. Me as well.
And well, of course, we'll come back next week with something totally mm-hmm. exciting, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I actually had an idea of talking about, you know, something came up that I came across that was about the Bat Sphere, and everybody thought it was alien, so mystical. Well, of course, that's been, you know, since, you know, verified that it's nothing short than, it's nothing more than a bearing that was used in something. But we can talk about that is how we can get to the truth or dispelling myths or how things get out of control, you know, somehow that we like to be titillized by mystery when something is kind of very basic and simple.
So kind of like how to separate fact from fiction.
There you go.
All right. I like it. So I think,
and we can start with that Bat Sphere. That's for sure. Cause that's an interesting story.
What is it?
BETZ Sphere.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Huh. I'll have to look into that. I'm not familiar, but it is a very good very good topic. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with it. So we're going to call
we'll
it for next week.
Yeah, next week for sure.
And on my list, I still have, I think we could touch on possible space, you know, alien life out in different planets and how that could look and how that might fit into the life spectrum thing.
I just heard that there's water on the moon.
Mars. Well, the moon, we've known there's ice there, too, but I think they found liquid water and rocks on Mars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lending to the theory, there was life there.
It's very...
We got lots to talk about. We never run
out. And ancient spirits and gods and the ancient metaphysical, things like that.
Yeah.
That's on my list. So, yeah, we're going to have some good stuff coming up. And again, if you have any ideas, let us know. Let us know on Facebook. Shoot me an email. But, yeah, looking forward to that next week. But it has been a great discussion tonight. And thank you, Dr. Vicky. As always, I love having you here because you really make this come together. And your insights and that kind of intuitive insightfulness that you have, I love it. I don't know how you do it, but it is always spot on. And it is fantastic. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Yeah, of course. So with that said, I'm looking forward to next week. And Dr. Vicky, let's hear it.
Don't let them push you around out there, people.
That's right. So we'll catch up with you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.